Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy at the studio, and we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest coming up in just a little bit, Judd Garrett, his latest Pure Evil, and Selwyn Duke, he's got some goodies coming up. That'll be in the second hour, all right? So what I want to do right now is, a little bit of news, but I want to put some sports and weather in first for those of you who may be football fans. You know about the big snowstorms, of course, and let me make sure this is okay. There you go. So I'll look at some of these schedules, okay, that are going to be played. New Orleans Saints at the Cleveland Browns. That's going to be on Saturday. It's 11 degrees. They say the real feel of 21 degrees. Cloudy, snow shower, blowing, drifting snow. The Buffalo Bills at the Chicago Bears Saturday, 12 degrees. Feels like 13. Houston, Texas, the Tennessee Titans, 20 degrees. They say it really feels like 6. Cincinnati Bengals at the New England Patriots Saturday, 27 degrees, a real feel of 10 degrees. The Seattle Seahawks will be playing Kansas City Chiefs, 12 degrees. They say a real feel of minus 4. Atlanta Falcons at the Baltimore Ravens, 25 degrees, a refill of 12, mostly sunny and breezy. Detroit Lions at the Carolina Panthers, 33 degrees, a real feel of 27. And then you get down to the Las Vegas Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers, 8 degrees with a real feel of minus 14. And the only one of these games, it says it's going to be cloudy, very cold, with a snow shower. All righty. Just to give you an update on that. The January 6th committee has voted to refer former President Donald Trump to the Justice Department for possible criminal prosecution. This referral violates both the letter and the spirit of the Constitution for at least two reasons. First, Article 1 of the Constitution grants Congress, quote, all legislative powers and only legislative powers. Under our system of separation of powers, the power to prosecute lies exclusively with the executive branch through the Justice Department. Congress has no authority, that is, no authority to refer specific individuals for prosecution. It is beyond the scope of the constitutional authority. And second, Congress has specifically denied the power to pass any bill as a tender. Well, the House Republicans' investigation report on January 6th, it was Pelosi's fault. House Republicans have released a report on their investigations into the riot January 6, 2021, that determines the breach of the U.S. Capitol building was Democrat Speaker Nancy Pelosi's fault. The 141-page investigative report was independently published on Wednesday. It outlines the failures of the House Democratic Party leadership and the Capitol authorities that left the complex vulnerable. Text messages and emails from Pelosi's office revealed her staff held regular meetings discussing security detail. They also helped edit authorities' plans and turned down several requests from federal law enforcement to protect the United States Capitol January 6, 2021. Such failures include Pelosi and Democrats' leadership being closely involved in security decisions. The report notes that Democratic leaders were excluded, Republican lawmakers from key meetings and conversations related to the House security. It further noticed that Democratic Party leadership showed widespread concern about optics over the early deployment of the U.S. National Guard to protect the Capitol grounds. Democrats and the January 6th committee used the Capitol Police as a political prop, then did nothing when USCB officers were harassed for telling the truth. Banks told the Federalists they should be ashamed. Banks reportedly said that the document helps counter the Democrats' anti-Trump narrative. The Democrats' version of the events failed to acknowledge security shortcomings by police and political leadership. Quote, Our report exposes the partisanship, incompetence, and indifference that led to the disaster on January 6th. And it and the leading role Speaker Pelosi and her office played in the security failure at the Capitol, he said. Unlike the sham January 6th committee, House Republicans produced a useful report that will keep our Capitol and USCP officers safe with no subpoena power and no budget. PolitiFact reported that the rioting on January 6th involved approximately 2,000 people. Some of them overturned barricades, clashed with police, and entered the Capitol. Officials estimate about 800 people turned out of the massive crowd, breached the Capitol grounds and building, leaving just over 200 people pleading guilty to one or more charges. And the report describes criminal rioters assaulted police officers, broke into the U.S. Capitol, damaged property, temporarily interfered with the certification of states' presidential and vice presidential electors at the joint session of Congress, a typically pro forma event. Former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund, who resigned after the riot, told the Washington Post that the House Speaker's authorities turned down requests for preemptive deployment of the National Guard 6 times before January 6th. Turned down the National Guard 6 times before January 6th. Sund also reportedly testified that then-House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving said optics was the reason for not sending in the National Guard. On February 9th, 2022, Pelosi reportedly said she has no power over the Capitol Police. This, by the way, is totally false. Documents provided by the House Sergeant-at-Arms show how Irving carried out his duties in a clear deference to the Speaker, her staff, and other Democratic staff. Quote, "The Speaker's statement created uncertainty and confusion with respect to the historical reporting structure for the House and the House Sergeant-at-Arms and the United States Capitol Police. The Federalist writes that the Sergeant-at-Arms reports to the Speaker, a system which was carried on in the aftermath of the riot with magnometers installed inside that and also outside the lower chamber and fence around the complex at Pelosi's direction. Lawmakers report that Irving routinely met with Democratic staff without Republicans ahead of January 6th. Quote, "The House Sergeant-at-Arms had a pattern of and practice of seeking and obtaining permission from the Speaker for all security decisions." That's what the report reads. Following the riot, Republican lawmakers wrote that staff within the House Sergeant-at-Arms office emailed Irving saying that January 6th was Pelosi's fault. Pelosi forced Irving to resign following the Capitol riot. And the report notes that officers of the front lines and analysis in the Capitol Authority's Intelligence Division were undermined by the misplaced priorities of their leadership. Quote, "Those problems were exacerbated by the House Sergeant-at-Arms, who was distracted from giving full attention to the threat environmental prior to January 6, 2021, by several other upcoming events." Well, the U.S. Capitol Police reportedly obtained ample information from several channels to anticipate and prepare for any violence. Twitter CEO Elon Musk has warned Senate leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat New York, and Senator Mitch McConnell that, quote, "the public is overwhelmingly against the massive $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill that was rushed through Congress." Musk conducted one of his famous polls on the spending bill both parties are ramming through. Quote, "I'm in favor of a small spending bill to keep things running, but common sense suggests that it be at least the amount required through the holidays," Musk said on Twitter. "Railroading through a giant spending bill that almost no one has read is unlikely to be in the best interest of the people." And Musk asked in his poll, "Should Congress approve the $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill?" like they did. But, of course, no mention of any immigration in it, right? Right. The result of the poll led Musk to send a message to Schumer and McConnell to remind them that the people run this country, not the taxpayer-funded politicians. Yep. And another big billion and billion going over to the Ukraine, but none for the border. Well, Republican Senator Rand Paul also reached his limit with the leadership for supporting the $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill. Speaking during a press conference, Senator Paul blasted Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, and Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell, calling the massive spending an abomination. Paul told reporters that the American people don't want this. They are sick and tired of it. When was it produced? In the dead of the night, Paul said. 1:30 in the morning is when they released it. Whose job is it to produce this? Quote, I brought along the $1.7 trillion, 400,000-plus page Pelosi and Schumer's ominous spending bill that's being fast-tracked through the Senate, Paul said as he pointed to a huge stack of documents that make up the bill. The process stinks. It's a no-good, rotten way to run government. We're standing up and we're saying no. Leftist billionaire George Soros has been paying dozens of journalists and other corporate media figures large sums of cash to promote his radical agenda. In return for their souls, Soros is paying journalists anywhere from $63,000 to $85,000 to publish glowing reports on his woke activism efforts. Much of this propaganda effort has sought to advance Soros' progressive criminal justice reform. Via his nonprofit, the Open Society Foundation, Soros is pumping cash to the media in the form of fellowships, or Soros Justice Fellowships. To receive big payouts, followers must produce projects that align with Soros' goals to restructure the United States justice system with soft-on-crime policies that favor criminals. Among the goals is reducing incarceration rates and introducing radical sentencing guidelines. Media fellowships last 12 months. Fellows are expected to make the projects their full-time work. Up to three people may apply jointly for a single fellowship. However, the eligibility for these fellowships is not just limited to journalists. OSF offers three distinct categories of fellowship funding: advocacy, media, and youth activism. According to the scholarship data provided to universities, OSF may pay up to six figures for the fellowships. These categories qualify for a wide variety of professions such as lawyers, advocates, grassroots organizers, artists, and filmmakers. Soros' Justice Fellowship alumni have been at the center of several controversies in the recent years due to their activism. Susan Burton, for example, founder of the criminal justice reform activist group A New Way of Life, and Mark Anthony Johnson, a longtime ally of Black Lives Matter, co-founder Patrice Cullors, have both made headlines for their radical activism after taking Soros' cash. But he just seems to be rolling right along. No problem, no problem. All righty. Hey, we're going to take a break, and then Judd Garrick coming up with his latest Pure Evil. Be right back.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN. Let me tell you about my guest, the one and only Judd Garrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, and Cowboys. Served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys. Judd has written 2 screenplays and is a frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, and No Wind is his first published novel. Judd is married, father of 6 children, and remember that website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Hey, Judd, welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hope you and your family have a wonderful vacation there. Christmas. Yes, there you go.
You too.
Yeah. I have a little trouble with my earphones today, and there's, I think that might be better right there. Yes, thank you. All right. You have an article out that, I mean, is, boy, it just, it'll knock your teeth out. It is nothing but pure truth, and it is called Pure Evil. And the very first line, I'll give you the first line of Judd's article. This is an article that shouldn't need to be written. But sadly, in our country today, it does. And I'll let you take it away from there, Judd. Excellent article.
Yeah, well, I mean, it shouldn't need to be said. What I wrote in the article shouldn't need to be brought up. We should all agree on this. I mean, I remember, as I wrote, there was a time when everybody agreed on this one thing, whether you're right, left, conservative, Republican, whoever, or, you know, Democrat, whatever, we all agreed that hurting children, that pedophilia was wrong.
Right.
There was no debate about that. If you harmed a child, if you sexualized a child, if you did anything inappropriate with a child, not only were you wrong, you were evil. That's the way we used to think. And as we are today in 2022, there's a large contingent of the population that no longer thinks that way.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned also about, you know, and I always remember there were a lot of movies about it, too. If you were a pedophile and you were locked up in prison, well, so much for you, because you were the lowest of the lowest.
I mean, that's evidence right there. I mean, mm-hmm. a pedophile goes to prison, and he's among murderers and, yeah. you know, some of the most, the baddest people on the planet. And even they think that your behavior so crossed the line that they take it upon themselves to exact some other type of justice on you. So that's how reprehensible, you know, pedophilia is, and, you know, harming children is.
But then we come to the sad news, listener. Second paragraph in this excellent article. So, we all used to believe that harming a child was probably the worst thing anyone could do, but not anymore. Why is that? Why is that? Go ahead, Judd.
Well, today, you know, in this day and age, there are college professors who want to change the term pedophile to minor attracted person. And the reason why they're doing it is because they want to take the stigma away from the word pedophile. Uh-huh. And to me, there's a reason why pedophile is so stigmatizing, because it's such an evil act. And what they're trying to do, and this is coming from academia. This isn't like, you know, a criminal group. This is coming from highly respected academia, and they want to remove the stigma of pedophilia because they're trying to normalize it. They're trying to make it everybody think that an adult being sexually attracted to young kids is a normal thing, and that's what they've been doing to a lot of the taboo sexual behaviors over the years, is that they've slowly changed the terms, and then they slowly normalize it to the point that it becomes accepted by greater society.
Do you think they're crazy enough to think, well, pedophiles should now be accepted because all of a sudden, you know, you can smoke marijuana in certain states? I mean, is that their crazy thinking, that it's not that serious?
Yeah, no, I think it's with everything. They're trying to take mm-hmm. everything that is deemed illegal, and the things that are, as you brought up, whether it's using drugs or pedophilia or whatever, they're trying to first of all decriminalize it and then make it acceptable.
All right, more from this excellent, disturbing article from the one and only Judd Garrett. The article is entitled "Pure Evil," and his website where you can read the whole thing. Objectivityistheobjective.com. We shall return.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The women in an isolated religious farming colony are subjected to unspeakably brutal rape and abuse, so they gather in a series of endless meetings to discuss how to respond to the sadistic men of their community. In the new film, Women Talking.
Hope for the unknown is good, just better than hatred of the familiar.
We have been preyed upon like animals. Maybe we should respond like animals.
Yeah, but animals don't talk and talk and talk, describing problems that are never actually depicted on screen. Based on a best-selling novel about a real incident in Bolivia, this film is an ordeal for the audience that isn't redeemed by a gifted cast. It's rated a ridiculous PG-13, despite references to violent assault and child abuse that should definitely have brought an R. One star for Women Talking. There's no reason to listen in to this conversation.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Columbo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbo's family Italian recipes? Columbo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Columbo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you, Ben.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking, and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest, Judd Garrett, discussing his latest, Pure Evil. And he says, one could argue that changing the term is merely semantics and not something tangible, but that doesn't hold true, especially when you think about the state of California, right, Judd?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, changing the term pedophilia is just the, you know, changing a word, but... Uh-huh. What they're doing in California is they are reducing the sentences for pedophiles, and they've let out thousands of pedophiles from prison while only serving less than 1 year of their prison time. And a lot of these guys, they were in jail for 5, 6, 8 years, and they're being let out after 6 months or 9 months. It doesn't make sense what they're doing.
Well, and you also mentioned... the question, do the people in charge simply not care about children, or do they actually want more children to be raped, or are they getting a kickback for letting them out? That's one that I would add.
No, that's probably the case. But I mean, if you think about it, you know, pedophilia is the one crime where the recidivism rate is very, very high. So you let a guy that just raped a kid out of prison after 9 months, he's going to be raping another kid pretty soon after that. That's part of what they are. That's part of who they are. They're going to do it. So letting them out early. I mean, if I'm the district attorney, and a guy has to serve 8 years in prison because he raped a kid, I'm going to make sure he serves every second of that 8 years, because that's 8 years that he's off the street where he could be harming somebody. So it doesn't make sense that they're letting them out so early, because they know that they're, all they're going to do is go back out there and start harming kids again.
How do you feel, and I know you mentioned it here, and we're still in California, basically, Disneyland, and now they're woke system again.
Yeah, I mean, they're making a concerted effort to embrace the whole LGBTQ, you know, narrative and put that all into their storylines. And, you know, I mean, I got a 4-year-old, I got a 5-year-old. They watch Disney movies. Now, it's a shame now that I have to preview these movies. I got to read up about these movies. I got to find out what's in the movies before I can allow my kids to watch them, because I don't want them indoctrinated by all this sexual stuff and LGBTQ stuff. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a time in their lives when they're going to have to learn about that, but not at 4 and 5 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe when they're in high school, maybe when they're in college, they need to learn about that, but not when they're not even in kindergarten yet. But that's what they're doing. They're trying to put all that type of storylines into their movies in the attempt to indoctrinate and sexualize little kids. It's absolutely disgusting.
Used to be for Disneyland, used to be for the young children. And now it's, I'm telling you, it's, how can you put that much pressure on a company that big, you know? Or it's got to just be the individuals that are running that company, I guess. You also talk about a high-end fashion. What is the name of this person? Bagalingia?
Balenciaga.
Balenciaga, huh? Okay, so I was going to say cigar there at the end, but yeah. So exposed for a photo shoot of a child, right, that was posing in BDSM gear while the pages from the Supreme Court ruling United States versus William addressing the First Amendment protection for child pornography on a table in the shoot. Wow, I'll tell you. Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, this is a high end, fashion company. They do this photo shoot. They have this little girl. She's dressed in all this
grown up clothes.
Yeah, you know, the very highly provocative sexual gear, and then they had the pages from the Supreme Court ruling dealing with First Amendment protections of child pornography on the table all this was done on purpose. All this was done on purpose. Uh-huh. And basically it's just another example of sexualizing little kids, and the Hollywood celebrities who are not afraid to voice their opinion on every type of issue, not one voiced their opinion against that. Not one stood up against what was happening and the way they're sexualizing little kids. It was absolutely, absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and you don't sling around the word Republican too much either in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. No.
I found that out when I was doing voiceover classes. You say our schools are actively sexualizing our children as well.
Yeah, there was a school, you know, it's an elite school in Chicago called Francis W. Parker. Uh-huh. And, you know, the dean of students was bragging that they, you know, during Pride Week, they bring in, you know, these people and, you know, the people from the LGBTQ community, and, you know, they're passing around sex toys and talking about all the different types of sex to these kids in the classroom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no place for any of that in the classroom. I mean, if an adult,
you know,
is talking to a child about sex, that should be a crime.
Yeah. I'll use some of these words, and you wonder, you know, in a school, right, how many school children know what a butt plug is, or even a dildo, right? It's of course, they know now, you know, if you're in the wrong schools. Boy, it's like, what in the world is going on in this world? You know, to me it is that way. And then I say, well, Chuck, you must just be getting old, huh? That you think that's an excuse for a lot of people? I guess it's just beyond my time, you know. I know Dick Tracy had a watch that you could talk into, and now you people have them. So I guess I got to keep up with the times. Yeah, really. Public schools, you say, and library. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, all that stuff that they're talking about to these kids in the classroom, mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know about any of that till I was like, you know, until I was in my 20s. I mean, and that's probably when, if you ever learn about it, that's when you should, when you're an adult and you can actually process it and understand it. Not when you're 13 years old or 12 years old. I mean, it doesn't make sense what they're doing to these kids.
Yeah. It's just terrible. You know, you say a good rule of thumb is if you have to lie about and hide what you're doing, there's a really good chance of what you're doing is wrong. But see, they'll just say, oh, no, you know, it's just we're waiting for you to legalize it, you know, and they'll usually throw in the word marijuana somehow or the other. That's like that opened up the whole closet, so to speak.
Yeah, and what, you know, what some of these public schools are doing is, you know, there's a kid, you know, 12 years old, 13 years old, who may be a little bit confused about their identity.
Uh-huh.
And these schools come in and they take control of the kid and they start transitioning them into the opposite gender, but they don't tell the parents they're doing it. And that's what brought up what I said. I mean, if you have to hide what you're doing, if you have to lie about what you're doing, you know what you're doing is wrong. You know, I mean, if the kid's having a problem with his identity, the parents should be the first people talk to about it, not the last one.
Yeah, and sometimes the parents, it's kind of changed, you know. It's no longer, you know, sitting around the kitchen table, you know, and discussing things. It's just, I think you and I have discussed it, that it really shows up in a restaurant. I don't know how much it happens normally in America, just at an individual's house when they're eating dinner, but you go and see a family come into a restaurant and you notice how many of them are on cell phones. You know, it's sort of like this is our night out to go out and have dinner. And then you've got six or seven of them, you know, all on their cell phones. Of course, after they've ordered, because that's the most important thing. Apparently, it's not the getting together. I think it has a lot.
Well, yeah,
to do,
I mean,
with it.
But these smartphones and internet and all that stuff. I mean, it's a form of addiction, and that's what they try to do, is mm-hmm. they try to get these kids addicted to watching the screens, to all these different websites, and it really, you know, destroys the social connection between family and friends.
And you know what? They're going to miss it. You know, they're going to say, I wonder why it is I don't feel the way my grandpa feels about, you know, his parents. You know what I'm saying? Why don't I have that certain connection? And the connection has been disconnected because you're connected to the cell phone. Yeah, very clever, Chuck. Thank you. Okay. Glad I'm not talking to myself. Anyway, let's go to Pedophile Island, listener. Are you ready for that? It was run by a gentleman. Oh, I shouldn't use that name. A man named Jeffrey Epstein. Let's get into that, talking about young people being raped. I don't know how many and what the age group was on the young girls. A lot of people think that maybe it was just, you know, celebrities going over or Congress people going over to that island, you know, and getting it on with adults that were coerced to do it. But I guess there were a lot of young people there, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, I don't know how to say her name, Ghislaine Maxwell,
right.
She's in prison for what went on that island, and rightfully so. But if you look at it, there's no one else in prison.
Yeah.
She was bringing in young girls to basically be raped by these rich and powerful men. You know, Jeffrey Epstein was either committed suicide or someone suicided him. And then Maxwell's in prison, but no one else is in prison. There's a lot of people who have been connected to it. Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Bill Gates, Kevin Spacey. A lot of those men have been connected to this island, but Where is the rigorous investigation into these men to find out what exactly happened? Why are we turning a blind eye and allowing all these men who may have engaged in obviously this inappropriate sexual activity with young girls, why are we turning a blind eye to it? You know, I mean, shouldn't there be, reporters who were doing all the hard legwork to find out what went on? Mm-hmm. It's almost as if we're not allowed to mention any of it. And it's because, it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal to people.
And I'll tell you, listener, that, you hear those names come out. Those names were revealed by the pilot. What was his name? Lawrence Paul Vilkoski Jr. Viskoski Jr. V-I-S-O-S-K-I. You can't buy any more S's anyway. He's the guy that gave out a lot of the names, I don't think many other people are mentioning it. But if you want to read the entire article, remember, just go to the website, objectivityistheobjective.com, and you can soak it in and see how much it can disturb you. It's entitled, Pure Evil. Objectivityistheobjective.com. You said that 20 years ago, the same corporate media that is willfully turning a blind eye to the mass sexual exploitation of our children across all of our institutions engaged in a media frenzy over the Catholic Church sexual abuse scandal. Does that ring a bell with you there, listeners? It should if you watch any TV, now, other than the terrible Marine Island, where something was leaking into the water, the Catholic Church, really got attacked. And you got to remember also that when COVID came along, all the churches were attacked. Do you think some higher-ups have it against religion there, Judge?
Yeah, I mean, when I look at it, and again, I'm a Catholic, and I'm not defending what happened at the Catholic Church. I mean, if there was a sexual abuse scandal there, then it needs to be exploited, and the people need to be held accountable. But what I look at it is, I want the same media frenzy to go after all the child sexual exploitation we're witnessing on a daily basis now that they went after the Catholic Church 20 years ago. Uh-huh. And to me, when I look at the difference, when I look at the attack on the Catholic Church and then completely turning a blind eye to everything else that's going on as far as abuse of children, I see it as they don't really care about protecting children. They're just using children to attack the Catholic Church, because it's not even handed at all, And to me, I was almost glad that they're going after the Catholic Church, because I was like, good, now we're going to protect children across all spectrums, and we don't do it.
I used to be an altar boy, okay, Catholic, and, never ever even heard of that stuff, until I guess when I was in the Navy, it's the first time I ever heard somebody mention sexual assaults of choir boys or whatever. But you don't see a big ad going, do you know anyone or maybe yourself that was molested on Jeffrey Epstein's pedophilia island? You could even throw that in there so they'd make sure they had the right island, nothing on that, huh?
Yeah, and that's the shame of it, because it just becomes obvious to me that whole scandal was about, we need a way to discredit the Catholic Church. We need a way to discredit religion and Christianity, not this is our attempt to protect children.
Right. And, of course, none of these names on Epstein Island, none of them are diehard Republicans, so you're not hearing too much about it again, of course. All right, we're going to continue and wrap things up with Judd Garrett, and going to talk some football with him. I just want to get a couple of answers from him, because he was a professional, which I mentioned in his opening there. Dallas Cowboys, worked with so many others, Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys. We'll be right back.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain? Pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder with my guest, Judd Garrett. Remember, the website objectivityistheobjective.com. And we mentioned earlier, and every time Judd comes on, you know, that he was a professional football player. He was with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys. He also had a coaching career with the Saints, the Dolphins, the Rams, and then the Cowboys. And what I wanted to get your take on here, Judd, they have the weather reports for Saturday's games, and there's a lot of them, okay? Cleveland Browns, let's see, I'm going to just give you where they're playing. New Orleans at Cleveland Browns, okay? 11 degrees, Chicago 12 degrees, Houston 14 degrees, Cincinnati 27 degrees, Kansas City 12 degrees, pardon me, Baltimore Ravens, it'll be 25 degrees. Detroit playing at the Carolina Panthers, it is going to be 33. But then we get to the lowest of all, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Pittsburgh Steelers, 8 degrees. And I was telling a friend of mine who's a big fan of Pittsburgh, I said, couldn't they just move that game to the Raiders Stadium? And he laughed for a while. But the thing is, you know, 8 degrees, and they say it's really going to feel like a minus 14, cloudy, very cold, and also a snow shower. Now, then I hear these things about people talking about, well, when it gets around about, 5 or 6 degrees below, that's when you really have problems, and it's kind of dangerous, and it can cause heart attacks and stuff like that. So you're playing, you know, in 1993 with the Dallas Cowboys, and you guys didn't have the big, beautiful stadium then, did you, 93?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. So what is this extra thing you have to do to be able, you know, to plan a game where it's 8 degrees?
Well, it becomes almost a survival mode. You're just trying, a lot of times you're just trying to get through the game. And I played up in Canada for a year, and we played a game in Saskatchewan, and it was single digits, and you're just trying to survive the game much more than you're actually trying to beat the opponent. So, it's a really hard deal because, you know, the weather just takes so much out of you. So,
yeah.
To me, when
you get hit, it seems like it hurts more, you know, because I played some football.
Question about it.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, has it gotten to a point where 8 degrees could be declared like maybe you shouldn't play in weather that cold? Or is it, nope, we're football players, and if we're going to kick a field goal, we might even get a guy to come out here and, run the tractor to clear it off. Can't remember what game that was, but that was something else. I think it was the Patriots.
Yeah, Miami, New England a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
right now they're just going to sort of, you know, gut through it, but I think in the future they're going to consider that. They're going to consider, moving the game or postponing the game. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, they're concerned about the health of the players. And you're right. I mean, when it gets that cold, you know, it may take one person having a heart attack or something like that for them to really realize that it can get dangerous playing in that cold of weather.
And it's also bad for the sports fans that have to drive through that terrible weather, you know, to go and support their team. So, all right. Hey, listen, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and look forward to our next visit, sir.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
All right, you too. Judd Garrett, Objectivity is the objective.com. All right, the one and only Selwyn Duke is coming up next. Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Jeremy Dayton at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, here's a reminder, let's see, next Monday we're going to have the Best of Talk back, and then Tuesday, Frank Vernuccio, and then Kelly Nelson returns. I guess she's finished baking cookies. Anyway, Kelly Nelson with her latest, Touch Not the Apple of His Eye. All right. Now then, without further ado, I want to go to the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American. Selwyn has also contributed to the college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television, frequent guest on great radio programs, and his website is selwynduke.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke.
Oh, yeah. There he is. The Duke, Duke, Duke. He likes to duke it out, you know? Yes. So that's why we do that, right? Because he likes to duke it out? Yeah. He'll start a battle anytime you're ready. How are you doing, sir?
Not bad, Chuck. I'm just sitting here in the midst of this fierce storm we're having. We're having some high winds. So if all of a sudden I disappear, you know what happened. It's like in The Wizard of Oz when you get swept away by that wind. But anyway, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. And I was a little concerned because, you were talking about the weather there and everything. You sounded kind of sound like you're in an echo today, you know, like you're in an empty room. You know how that sound is?
Do I?
Yeah.
I have an empty head. I don't know about an empty room.
just a little bouncier than normal. Are you sure? I'll give you the. No, I won't do that. Okay. Hey, first off, you have a new website. I see that you're putting out. It's a new thing. And I just went to it, and all it said was if you want to join up, and it didn't say anything about it. I got your latest about science. Okay, so see, I'm kind of up on it, more or less.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that the article you want to start with?
Well, I wanted to start with science. The new climate curriculum prioritizes emotion over rational thinking. Is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I did write that one, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, the other thing I was talking about was that I saw somewhere, I don't have it in front of me now, but that you had a new website or something you were going to be starting up on the top. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I just started this new blog, antiwhitecrime.com. And what inspired me to do that is that when I got my new computer, which I love, automatically I ended up with Microsoft Network's homepage and would give you news. And you might ask, well, why do I keep it? Because so much of the news is liberal. Well, I said, it gives me a lot of good leads for stories, so I'll keep it. But what would happen was they would constantly post these articles that were designed to foment hatred and unrest about supposed white-on-black racial incidents, one after another, and a lot of the stuff was nonsense. So I finally said, well, I need to balance this a little bit, so let me erect a site, antiwhitecrime.com, and that's what I did. So now I'm going to feature crimes that go the other way, just to provide a little equal time, that's all.
Ah, okay, that's good. We're going to go to one of your latest here. It's entitled Science Question Mark. New climate curriculum prioritizes emotion over rational thinking. And you say that passion governs, and she never governs wisely. See, I saw that word passion and she, and I said, oh, this is going to be a good one. But it went the other way. Still a good one.
Yeah.
But that was a wise man that said that. That was BF, right?
Benjamin Franklin, and I know that you have that saying on your wall or something. You told me about that, right?
The one I have is from Ben Franklin is, they who give up essential liberty to obtain temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, but they can still listen to Chuck Wilder. Ben Franklin, 1775,
true.
Yes. He had ESP. Yeah.
But, yeah. Now, absolutely. Passion governs, and she never governs wisely. And he said that, Ben Franklin, in 1775. But unfortunately, it appears that we've forgotten this truth to the extent now where we'll apply emotionalism to anything, not just philosophy and morality. And that's bad enough because we're supposed to view those things objectively as well. But now it's being applied to science as well. And here's a good example. It's what I wrote about. Well, just consider, Chuck, the Washington State Department of Health's climate curriculum. Now, it counsels teachers, get this, to emphasize emotions, quote-unquote, over, quote, rational thinking. And this appeal is found in this section called Climate Change and Pregnancy. And it's the second phase of a five-part curriculum. And this curriculum claims to be able to aid students in learning the, quote, intersections of biological, societal, and environmental issues. Sounds like trouble already when you hear all of that left-wing gobbledygook, right? But anyway, climate change and pregnancy. Now, this is not in the article, but you know why they say that climate change is significant for pregnant women and why it impacts upon them most? Well, they say in this curriculum it's because higher temperatures can cause pregnant women problems, okay? So supposedly the temperatures are a little higher, and that's imperiling pregnant women. Of course, they don't say whether women who live in the tropics should sojourn maybe in the North Pole or in the Eskimos areas until they give birth. They don't mention that. But anyway, it seems to me that women in the tropics have done a good job of birthing children for millennia. But let's move on here. So this curriculum we're talking about in Washington State, it reads, quote, as teachers and students consider the impacts of climate change, we should be mindful of the emotional dimensions of the human experience. For too long, science and science education have prioritized my rational thinking. As we delve more deeply into the impacts of climate change using the data from the Washington Tracking Network and the practices of the next generation science standards, we must learn to pay attention to our own emotions and those of other people. They furthermore say, Chuck, emotions, quote, signal alignment or discord between cultural values and technical assertions. The curriculum also states that not acknowledging emotion, get this, suggests arrogance and can, quote, weaken important relationships for getting things done. Okay. Now, this is very, very dangerous here. I mean, I quote someone who was interviewed by the Daily Caller, this Todd Myers. He's the environmental director of the Free Market-Oriented Washington Policy Center, but he just states the obvious, Chuck. He says that disregarding rational thinking and science curriculum can be disadvantageous to students in society. I said, well, that's putting it really, really mildly. Let me ask you a question. In this age where we exalt emotion, maybe we saw that with Bill Clinton in the 90s when he said, I'll feel your pain. Yeah. But if someone's designing a bridge that you're going to have to drive over, do you want him to do that based on rational thinking and technical knowledge or emotion? Huh. What about if someone is designing an airplane you're going to fly on? You want it designed based on rational thinking or emotion? Okay, emotion has its place, and I'm going to get into that in a moment, but its place is not what they're applying it to. Okay, the truth is that diminishing rational thinking in anything can be disastrous for society, even faith. Even faith has an element of reason to it, because good theologians, Chuck, will describe faith as, quote, an act of the will informed by reason. That's what it is. Okay, so anyway, this Myers fellow also points out that saying that we've overemphasized rational thinking in what is supposed to be a scientific curriculum is not only foolish, it is harmful to people and the environment. Okay, also from the Daily Caller relates that. So I point out in the article that we've already seen this. We've seen, for instance, you and I have discussed it, Chuck, how they're decimating part of the North Maine woods, the largest forest east of the Pacific Northwest, and they also want to decimate one of the last, or maybe the last, pre-Columbian forest in Germany. Why? In deference to some greentopian scheme. In Germany, they want to erect these idiotic wind farms, which don't even really provide reliable energy. So this shows you how ridiculous it is when you dispense with reason. It even impacts negatively upon environmentalism. And anyway, so let's move on, though. Now, this Myers fellow, though, did boil things down to their bare essence. He explained exactly why this happens very, very well. Just common sense again. He said, ultimately, attacking rational thinking is just a way to justify policies that are irrational and unscientific. Really? When the science doesn't support a policy, advocates can simply claim that we shouldn't be bound by rationality and should go with our feelings. It is a recipe for policy based on tantrums rather than data. That's what he said. Chuck, I have a feeling that I've been talking too long and you want to chime in.
No, no, you know, it's excellent. I'll put it that way. All I would do is be repeating about something great that you just said and what this guy wrote. You know what I'm saying? Anytime any article comes up that has to do, you know, with climate change, it is amazing how many things they can stick to those two words, you know, and carry on with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is so destructive, Chuck. It really does bother me because I understand how this hurts children when you train them to operate emotionally and not based on reason. You're doing something where you're conditioning them in a very negative way that's going to hurt them for the rest of their lives unless they can emerge from that feelings-oriented morass. You know, you can't do that. Operating based on passion, making decisions based on passion that should be made using the intellect can lead you to destruction, not just in terms of policy civilization-wide, but in terms of your personal life. Really, really hurts kids. But I point out in the article, Chuck, that this shouldn't surprise us at all because this is really just another stop on that relativistic cultural trajectory that we long ago embarked upon. And this cultural trajectory deifies emotion. And what I've explained in the past is that when people cease believing in truth, which is objective by definition, then they no longer have it to use as a yardstick when making decisions. then what do they have left to use as a guide for making decisions? Well, the most compelling yardstick they have left, Chuck, is emotion. Ergo, the modern credo, if it feels good, do it, okay? So it's not surprising that as we proceed down this emotionalistic cultural trajectory, we're now applying emotion not just to things like morality and philosophy, like I said, and that's bad enough. I mean, that's my business, and believe me, you can't find the truth via emotion there either. But we're applying it now as well to hard disciplines like math, like science. Another example is that recent assertion we heard, Chuck, that 2 + 2 = 5,
yep.
Right out of 1984, the book. I mean, it's just incredible, incredible. Now, I do want to discuss, Chuck, the proper role of emotion, but I know we're coming up on a break, so I don't want to have to rush this because I really think this is the most important part of this article. So I'm going to zip my lips right now, if that's okay, and hand the baton to you.
Well, got about 40 seconds, actually, before we have to take the break. Let me go back a little bit. Why is it, you remember the tree huggers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is this what they're trying to do now to the trees in the forest, is that just a carry-on of that, the tree huggers? And you would never have that, you know, in the 1800s where the hippies would go out, because there weren't any hippies, of course, but go out and hug the trees so you don't chop them down. But then they would have to go home to their log cabins, you know. So I guess that's why they didn't have it. But they just don't have that thinking tool working these days, I guess. It's kind of strange. But we are going to go on this break right now, and Selwyn Duke's going to continue in just a moment. Remember that website, SelwynDuke.com. Always excellent interviews with him and always excellent pieces. And one of them has to do with the assassination files of JFK. You probably heard about it. We're going to try to get that one in today, too. So remember the website, Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, C.R. Wren, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and discussing one of his latest science question mark. New climate curriculum prioritizes emotion over rational thinking. And now, Mr. Duke, you got time to roll on with it there.
By the way, Chuck, I've got a question for you. Before, yes. When I mentioned Bill Clinton playing upon emotion in the 1990s when he uttered that line, "I'll feel your pain," right. Do you think he really felt our pain, or that he was just feeling Monica Lewinsky? Which do you think it was?
I do. I was going to say I think he was feeling other things. and you answered it for me. Yes, he was feeling Monica. Yes.
But okay, let's not elaborate there because this has got to be a family show.
He's just
show.
Lucky that right, Hillary didn't.
Leave it right there.
He's just lucky Hillary didn't hit him with her broom, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. But anyway, so let's get back to this.
All right.
So I was discussing emotions and rationality, and here's the whole thing. I remember back many decades ago when I was a young man, I think I was about 20, I was with my best friend and his girlfriend and this other gal, and I don't know what kind of discussion arose, but the other gal got very emotional, and she said at one point, "Why is logic better than emotion?" Now, I didn't have a perfect answer back then because I was very young, but the point is this, it's not so much that logic is better than emotion, it's that they have very, very different roles. We're not Mr. Spock here. We have emotions, so we have to understand their place. And I analogize it like this, Chuck. It's as if the intellect is the engine and emotion the fuel. Now, if you have just an engine, well, it's a very impressive mechanism. It's got great potential. But without fuel, it has nothing to animate it. So it's impotent. If you have fuel alone, well, it's powerful and explosive, Chuck, but without an engine, it is nothing to channel its energy, so it can only be destructive. It's only when you have both together, each performing its proper role, that you really have something, that the desired effect is achieved, okay? What this means literally is that the emotion's role is to provide the impetus to act, the passion, once the intellect has determined what that action should be. That's the proper role, and you can't mix them up. As the Bible tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things. We can't be led by our heart. We have to be led by our head. But our heart does have a very, very important role. So anyway, getting back to this Washington State climate curriculum, which is all emotion, because, of course, these left-wingers don't have truth to back up their agenda. So what they have to do is they have to avoid the truth. And one way to do that is just to say, hey, just go with your emotions. If it feels right, do it. But we're going to tell you what feeling should prevail, and our feeling should be the determining factor. Well, anyway, in their climate curriculum, it tells students, get this, quote, to consider sexism in science, which includes subtle discussion dynamics and abuse of power. I'm quoting now the Daily Caller. I'll continue to do so. Quote, students are asked to raise their hand if they have experienced any sexism, such as unwilling to learn about issues important to women and eye rolling and jokes. That's what the curriculum actually says.
Yeah, now, let me ask you real quick. How many do you think would hold their hand up if they had felt?
Yeah, I don't think that there would be very many if they were young.
Yeah,
I can tell you that.
Really?
But who knows? They're being so brainwashed. But it's interesting because I actually looked at the curriculum and I found something very, very interesting. In the section we were discussing, it prescribes what I call a feminocracy. This is the climate change and pregnancy section again. Well, at the end of it, Chuck, it actually instructs teachers to conclude, quote, the module with Alice Walker's poem, Calling All Grandmothers. Now, Alice Walker is not a very nice character. She's the one who wrote The Color Purple, that famous story. But here's the ending of the poem. Here's how it reads. Quote, I call on all the grandmothers of Earth and every person who possesses the grandmother's spirit of respect for life and protection of the young to rise and lead. The life of our species depends on it. And I call on all men of Earth to gracefully and gratefully stand aside and let us do so. So we're just supposed to stand aside so people like Alice Walker can be emotional and wreck everything with their feelings-determined policy. But here's the kicker. I remembered something, Chuck. Alice Walker, get this, disowned her own daughter. Do you know after what? After that daughter made her a grandmother. Now, her daughter, Rebecca Walker, explained this in 2008 in the Daily Mail in an article. And her mother, Alice Walker, is an ice-cold, derelict mother. Well, she believes that children enslave women. That was the issue. And she was very unhappy when she learned about Rebecca's pregnancy. In fact, it ended their relationship. That's what happened. You should read the article. Horrible person. And this is the person in Washington they want to have influencing kids. Alice Walker. Just unbelievable. But I guess it's apropos, as I wrote in my article, she's the right role model for them because, after all, Chuck, in her hatred, she had dispensed with rationality and was running on pure emotion.
Ah, fantastic. Alice Walker, take a walk. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The women in an isolated religious farming colony are subjected to unspeakably brutal rape and abuse, so they gather in a series of endless meetings to discuss how to respond to the sadistic men of their community. In the new film, Women Talking.
Hope for the unknown is good, just better than hatred of the familiar.
We have been preyed upon like animals. Maybe we should respond like animals.
Yeah, but animals don't talk and talk and talk, describing problems that are never actually depicted on screen. Based on a best-selling novel about a real incident in Bolivia, this film is an ordeal for the audience that isn't redeemed by a gifted cast. It's rated a ridiculous PG-13, despite references to violent assault and child abuse that should definitely have brought an R. One star for Women Talking. There's no reason to listen in to this conversation.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
We got him right here, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American and SelwynDuke.com. You know, Selwyn, you got so many good articles, and I know you've got this one of the latest. Do we have to accept transgenderism if it's inborn? But I also want to alert the listener, if we don't have time, you got to get to the one he wrote about JFK's assassination files, where the source, they say, was the CIA. Yes. Which one do you want to get to? It's up to you, sir.
Okay, why don't we touch on the transgenderism one, and we can try to do it fast, maybe. How's that?
That sounds great to me. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay, well, I think you'll find this interesting, but I open the article by saying, is the following a good summation of the argument used starting decades ago to normalize homosexuality? Now, here's the argument. This is from a newspaper. Many researchers are taking a different view of homosexuality. Homosexuality once was thought to stem from psychological influences early in life. Now, many experts view it as a deep-rooted predisposition that does not change. These, quote, experts view it as a sexual orientation as immutable as heterosexuality, the paper added later. Okay, now, you might recognize that this is the foundation of that born-that-way argument, which basically holds that if you're born a certain way, and the way you're born correlates or corresponds to a certain behavior, then it's wrong to condemn that behavior because it's inborn, it's just the way you are. And if you do condemn it, well, that's really like bigotry. But here's the thing, and I have a little confession to make, Chuck. I put one over on everyone. I told a little fib there because, see, the quotation that I read you from the newspaper is not actually from decades ago. It's from the Los Angeles Times on January 14th, 2013, and the subject was not homosexuality. I'd inserted that word in place of another word. You know what that word is?
Mm-hmm.
Pedophilia. Here's how the passage originally read. Many researchers are taking a different view of pedophilia. Pedophilia once was thought to stem from psychological influences early in life. Now, many experts view it as a deep-rooted predisposition that does not change. These, quote, experts view it as a sexual orientation as immutable as heterosexuality or homosexuality. Now, I presented it this way because I'm trying to make a point. When we go down this road where we use fallacious arguments to justify things because it might be convenient, we start to weave a very tangled web. And these arguments, once they're mainstreamed and accepted, will be used later on, maybe in an effort to rubber stamp things that we realize are very, very, very destructive. Okay, now, I'm talking about this with respect to so-called transgenderism, which, of course, I call a made-up sexual status, a must, because that's what it is. Because the same argument is being used there, that these individuals are born this way. It's the whole argument that a man might have a female brain, even though he's got a male body, although that's been debunked, to be honest with you. But anyway, the same thing is used, this argument. Well, it's inborn, so then it's fine. It's just the way the person is, and you can't argue against it. Now, the problem with this argument, Chuck, should be obvious. The same experts who say this also tell us, guess what, that psychopathy is inborn. They also tell us that alcoholism might be due to a gene. Now, think about it. What does this imply? Does it mean that if someone is born, for argument's sake, with homicidal instincts, that it's okay for him to commit murder? Or should we endorse someone's liter-a-day gin habit if his urge to drink like a fish is innate? Because that's the implication. And, you know, as I also point out in the article, we could analogize this to the physical realm. For instance, we know that people can be born, Chuck, with a host of different physical abnormalities. There's spina bifida, there's cleft palate, there's heart defects, microcephaly, cystic fibrosis, you name it. But we recognize, A, that they're abnormalities and undesirable states of being, and when we can, we try to correct them, okay? We don't say, well, hey, you know, that's just the way the person is born. Why would you change it? Well, why would we think that it's any different with abnormal psychological states of being, even if they are somehow inborn? Let's say they are. I'm not saying I agree with that, but for argument's sake, okay, that has no bearing whatsoever on whether the thing in question is good from a human health standpoint or, in behavior's case, if it's good from a moral standpoint. Okay, and what is the lesson here? The lesson is very, very simple. You could say it's that genetics doesn't determine morality. But it even goes further than that, because if someone is espousing, Chuck, this born that way argument, what he's doing is he's in fact acting as if morality doesn't even exist, and instead we're supposed to make decisions based on biological determinism, okay? And again, going that route could justify anything if it's believed to be inborn. You can't do that. That way lies madness, absolute madness. That's a good, good recipe for destroying society. And I also point out in the article, Chuck, look, I'm not taking an irrational, one-sided point of view here. I'm not saying that we don't have certain proclivities or we don't have certain inborn inclinations. Even the Bible tells us, for instance, the sins of the father will be visited upon the child, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that people are born with different characteristic weaknesses, or you might say temptation tendencies. In one person's case, Chuck, maybe he's going to have a greater urge to drink heavily. Another person might be more inclined toward lust, right? But the bottom line is this doesn't mean that they should give these darker urges free rein. No. It means that they should try to cultivate the virtue, the good moral habits, that can prevent them from acting upon these darker urges. And that really is the truth. And by the way, I end the article by pointing out, if anyone still disagrees with this, well, then consider this. The politically correct types really should, in particular. Many scientists now say, there have been articles about this in recent times, that we're born racist. Okay, well, if that's true, and this theory that anything inborn means that the behavior it corresponds to is okay, well, then how can you condemn someone for being racist? As I conclude my article with, hey, just pass out the white KKK hoods and the new Black Panther Party berets, and you know what? Shut the heck up.
Very good article, yeah. You do have a way with words, Mr. Duke. You certainly do.
Thanks, Chuck. Hey, I liked what you closed with before the break when you said, Alice Walker, take a walk. That was quick, Chuck. You see, that's why you have your own radio show and I'm just sitting here in my living room.
That's why I have a big door in my radio room so I can get the quick out of here just in case, you know. I am in earthquake country, so I didn't want anybody to read that wrong. Yes. I got to tell you.
That's true. You are in earthquake country.
I guess it was earlier this year, this month, around December 15th, 14th, 15th, something like that. Let me see here. But anyway, Tucker Carlson came on with the show, and the title that Selwyn has on this is, Source Has Seen the CIA's JFK Assassination Files, and he says, the agency killed Kennedy, the CIA agency. And I'll tell you, Selwyn, before I even saw your article, and I'd missed that Tucker program, and I don't have my calendar in front of me, but it must have been something going on where I didn't watch it that night, right? But this was something else, wasn't it? Let's get into this. We got about, 7 minutes before we even have to take a break. But it's...
Good.
I think a lot of people suspected this a long time ago, that the government was involved somehow.
Now, let me just preface my remarks, Chuck, by saying that I'm not a conspiracy theorist by nature, and in particular, I never subscribed to conspiracy theories surrounding the JFK assassination. So perhaps I'm a very good individual to have discussing this, because I don't really have a horse in this race, to be honest with you. But anyway, we know that ever since JFK was assassinated in 1963, you've had what they call conspiracy theories now surrounding the event. And by the way, the term conspiracy theory originated shortly after that event. Tucker Carlson pointed that out. It wasn't really part of the American lexicon before then. It was popularized, for instance, by entities such as the New York Times, the term. But anyway, so we've had conspiracy theories surrounding the assassination, that the KGB killed Kennedy, the CIA, the Cubans, Vice President Lyndon Johnson, the Mafia, you name it. In fact, according to Vincent Bugliosi, people, quote, have accused 42 groups, 82 assassins, and 214 people of being involved in the assassination. Well, anyway, though, this is interesting what Tucker Carlson reported recently, because he reported that a source that they have, who reportedly has seen files the CIA is still withholding from the public, okay, in violation of the law, we're going to get into that, okay, said that the CIA itself killed Kennedy. When he was asked about that, he answered, quote, "The answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. It's all fake." This is according to Tucker Carlson's source, as related by Tucker Carlson. Okay, so anyway, let's be brief about this if we can. So Carlson was talking about the assassination. Lee Harvey Oswald shot Kennedy. He was in custody. Later on, Jack Ruby shot him. Now, I'll just say something about that. I never believed, Chuck, that Ruby could be a paid assassin, because that didn't make sense, because a professional hitman doesn't kill someone on national TV where he's guaranteed to be caught. That
hey,
really
let me ask you
sense.
Real quick on Ruby. Was he not already diagnosed as having some kind of disease and didn't have too much longer to live, a heart problem or something? Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, it's interesting, because a friend of mine mentioned that, and I did research it. I didn't find anything relating to that, but he did die, I think, about 3 years later. Don't quote me on the exact time frame of cancer, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think he could have known about the cancer at the time. But anyway, that doesn't change the fact that there are many reasons here to be suspicious, because the bottom line is, then you had, after the assassination, the Warren Commission report. They did an investigation, and what they concluded was that Oswald and Ruby acted alone. Okay, but that really didn't settle anything, because as time went on, suspicions only grew, Chuck, as we know, and maybe with good reason, because the CIA eventually admitted under duress, Carlson pointed this out, this was nearly 50 years later, that, get this, they had withheld information from the Warren Commission investigators about their relationship with Lee Harvey Oswald. Okay. Now, Carlson also pointed out, and I'm citing him a lot because this comes from him, so I just want you to know what the source is, that I'm not personally vouching for it, but I do view him as being very reliable. Carlson also mentioned that the psychiatrist who evaluated Ruby in his prison cell and labeled Ruby insane was actually working for the CIA, but this information was withheld largely from the public, which is very interesting as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Carlson went on to point out, in 1976, I'm quoting now, long forgotten, the House of Representatives impaneled a special committee to reinvestigate the JFK assassination. Their bipartisan conclusion? Jack Kennedy was almost certainly murdered as the result of a conspiracy. But the question is, a conspiracy by whom? Well, the obvious suspect would be the CIA. That's what Carlson said. Now, here's what we really have to for sure take issue with. Carlson also said, in 1992, Congress passed the President John F. Kennedy Assassination Records Collection Act. That act mandated full disclosure of all documents by 2017, 54 years after JFK was killed.
Wow.
Okay? Now, the last administration, Trump's administration, agreed to comply with this law, but it didn't happen. According to Carlson, under intense pressure from CIA Director Mike Pompeo, they withheld those documents. Now, Joe Biden has promised to do the same thing. Now, this means that the CIA is in violation of the law. That cannot be tolerated, or it should not be tolerated. The bottom line is, if they're supposed to release those files, we should be seeing them, and there are no excuses. I mean, as Carlson pointed out, what could be the reason for withholding them? I mean, everyone involved is now long dead, so what's going on? You can't say it's going to endanger sources. Now, they might claim, well, it's going to endanger methods, it'll reveal methods, but I'm sorry, that doesn't wash, because as much as anyone might think that that could imperil our society, what imperils it far more is when we have intelligence agencies acting like a fourth branch of government and going rogue and violating the law. Because if that happens, this is not a government of, by, and for the people. This is a government, then, where these intelligence agencies have ultimate Trump power. That cannot be allowed, and that should scare everyone.
Yeah. Did you say Trump, really, Trump power?
Yeah. The Trump power, but not the kind of Trump power we might like. Yeah.
I was thinking of Superman when you said that. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. I know we're coming up on our break, but the bottom line is this. We know at this point, I'm sorry to say, that the intelligence agencies are no longer any friends of the American people. We've seen what the FBI has done, stacking the deck with elections, swinging the 2020 election, claiming the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, when the FBI had it in its possession and had to have known better. Not only that, we had Chuck Schumer say in 2017, when Trump was attacking the intel agencies, he actually said that Trump was being dumb. Quote, "Let me tell you," Schumer warned, "you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you." Now, think about the implications of this. This is coming from a far-left senator. I don't care who the president is. Do we want a situation where the intelligence agencies are more powerful than the elected president and the elected representatives in Congress? No. Then again, we don't have a republic, that everything is a lie.
Yeah.
Everything is a lie. Like I said, this is not a government of, by, and for the people then.
Hey, we'll come back with a conclusion on this too. And remember, listener, that I want you to go to Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com, and check out Schumer when he said that, you know, every which way from Sunday, something like that. And then I'll get into the fact that they did hide the UFOs from you also. So who can you trust? All right, more from Selwyn Duke. We'll wrap things up in just a moment.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
Think of the many sacrifices it took to establish and to preserve liberty in the United States. Think of the many generations that went before us, that spilled blood to preserve that liberty, our freedoms. And look at how long it took, not very long, for us to lose many of those liberties. One flu season, together with lockdowns galore, and so many of those liberties just slipping away. In the United States today, we see an American government that is weakening abroad, even as it oppresses its people at home. We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder, with the one and only Selwyn Duke of... Yeah, anyway. And I got to tell you, listener, that SelwynDuke.com, pardon me, is one of the best websites out there because just like this article that we're discussing right now and so many of Selwyn's articles, he gives you, you know, the links for every just about everything, you know. So you can go there, SelwynDuke.com, and check out this story. Tucker source has seen the CIA's JFK assassination files, says the agency killed Kennedy. And at the very end, a very interesting video. It's a four-minute video about the Kennedy assassination. And you know, when I watched that, Tucker, I'm sorry. Boy, I just moved you down one spot there. I'm sorry. You like that one down one spot? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I heard anyway, I caught that. Thank you.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I kept saying, I'm going to watch his head. I'm going to watch his head. I'm going to watch his head and see when it moves, you know. And that's the part I was really looking for. But, you know, I am correct about, look how many years they concealed the fact that they knew there were CEOs. There were UFOs. Man, I haven't even been drinking yet. Anyway, UFOs, you know, and they held that back from the American public. So many presidents, but you had a few that just couldn't hold it, you know. They would say little things like, well, I know more than you know, and I can't tell you. And I think even Biden might have known about it. He's the one that said, hey, right below us here is where we have our secret compartment, big secret room right here underneath this floor. People are going, oh, my God. Anyway, I'm going to let you wrap it up on this. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, look, the bottom line is this. Tucker Carlson's source said that he thought the CIA killed Kennedy. Who knows? Maybe the source is not telling the truth. I don't know. What I do know is this. As I said before the break, our intelligence agencies have way too much power. They've gone rogue. And consider this. On a later show, Tucker Carlson was interviewing Representative Devin Nunes. Okay, and Nunes was talking about how the federal government actually spied on Congress. And he was theorizing as to why this would have happened. And he said one possibility is they wanted to get dirt on the congressman for blackmail purposes. And Tucker Carlson chimed in and said, and it's clear that certain congressmen are being blackmailed. He said, you can't say that. That's what he said to Nunes. But I can, and it's true. Now, if that's the case, and I have to tell you, some years ago, an assertion like that might have seemed wacky to us, but now it seems entirely plausible. If that's true, then this is a very dangerous situation. But, Chuck, wouldn't that explain some of the very odd votes by certain Republicans where we say, why do they betray their base the way they do? Why do they vote for these woke policies? Well, yes, that would explain it, wouldn't it, that they were being blackmailed. So the bottom line is this. I don't know if it can be pulled off with all the power the intel agencies have, but they have to have their wings clipped. They're acting as a fourth branch of government that's very dangerous, and our republic is a lie if we're going to continue in this vein.
Hey, all these rhinos, you know, maybe they're forced, a lot of them, to become rhinos because, like you'd say, you know, the intelligence agency has something on them. I always thought Maybe. That about Supreme Court Justice Roberts. See, I'd heard all sorts of things about him. Yeah. So you have a very Merry Christmas, and boy, I appreciate the time you're giving me here, Selwyn. And Selwyn Duke's going to be back next week, but it's going to be on a Thursday, all right? Because this guy here is going to be off on a Friday, and I don't want to miss Selwyn. That's why. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
God bless, Chuck.
Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy Dayton. We were united again. That's why the show kind of did get aired. Okay. And God bless the United States of America.